Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Whatever, dude. Whatever. You know what? I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to, like, talk to my friend about his thought
processes.
She'd
be holding space and making this a safe, judgment-free zone.
This is a... I'm not judging as much as I'm trying to understand, but we're just getting to the point where you're not going to explain it, and I'm not going to understand it.
This is my people's joker.
This conversation right here?
This conversation is my people's joker. I get the movie now. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your fun vibes having host, Matthew Olenchek. Joined as always by my dour Christmas hating, Halloween hating co-host and work husband, Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
Honestly, doing great. This is a vibe right here.
It's a vibe. That's all I do.
This is fun.
I'm always chasing the vibe. Like Pepsi New Wave.
So this movie, I brought the movie, and it's 2022's The People's Joker, written and directed by Vera Drew. It's a parody movie of 2019's Joker, but not just 2019's Joker, but it uses like all of the Batman.
Deep DC canon.
I was going to say chronology, but like, what's the iconography, I guess?
Canon,
I guess. That's, yeah. It rules. It's great. I love it so much. This is a part of the growing list, but this might be top of the list of if this movie... See, the thing with this movie is
it because of the comedian angle?
That's not part of it. But this is the top of the list of movies that if this existed when I was a teen and I had seen this when I was a teen, I would be a different person. This would be so fundamental to my personhood that like I would have a slightly different personality than the one you see today. I'm not saying it would be better or worse, but it would be different. But unfortunately, I saw this movie at 27 and the baseline of my personality has already settled.
Mm. This is the first on the list for me, but second on, I have two lists that's going on.
Uh-huh.
It's going on the list of movies I have like no emotional reaction to.
Okay.
Which is Forgetting Sarah Marshall and The People's Joker.
Sure.
And it's now first on the list of movies that are, as a film intellectual, very good that I have no emotional. It's weird. I feel like I should be feeling something about it, but I don't.
No, I got you.
I liked it.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's well done. I think it's a great piece of art. I'm just like, eh.
I love this movie.
I just don't think I'm the target audience whatsoever because I am a sane, neurotypical cis man.
this movie is... it's a coming-of-age story, kind of. Like, I mean, if we're talking the bare plot of it, it's a coming-of-age queer trans woman story through the use of... Batman characters.
Yeah.
But like it's really not like it is
one Superman character.
It is. Like that's the plot of this movie. The plot of this movie is Joker the Harlequin.
Yeah.
Was born a boy living in Kansas, not Smallville, because they called the Smallville suicide hotline, but they were not in Smallville. Yeah. They were just in Kansas. Who grew up in Kansas and as a boy, and then was with an emotionally abusive mother. Yes, emotionally abusive. How would you describe abusive through neuroses, but like narcissistic through neuroses? Like,
I'd probably just say abusive.
Sure, okay, but I'm trying to get specific for like the mother feels inadequate for who she is as a person and then puts that on to Joker. And then Joker is put on Smilex, which is like the drug in this world that...
Oh, a drug. I'm sure they also have Tylenol. It's not the drug.
But they're put on Smilex, which is like an inhaler that is laughing gas. Yeah, it's an inhaler of laughing gas.
Yeah, it's Joker gas. It's Joker gas. I mean, obviously, it's Smilex.
Yeah, and then it puts them through a haze for their entire adolescence. They move to Gotham, try and get on UCB Live, which is the Gotham City version of Saturday Night Live.
It's all clowns, and I'm the United Clown Bureau. I'm holding space for you. I'm so proud you made it through this movie at least twice.
Thank you. There are
so many clowns in this movie.
Yeah.
It only intensifies my deep, forbidden desire to lick Clockwork Orange you to discover what is truly a clown.
First, this isn't forbidden. We have agreed that if I ever do the live show, you are the writer.
Yeah.
You are a writer. And this is a bit I will allow. Maybe not for the first show, but like this is a bit I will allow eventually. But
I'm just fascinated about at what point something. Is it the hair?
I don't.
Because I remember one time we were watching Clowning Around with Morgan, and as soon as the hair went on, you were like, no. If we put hair on Ra's al Ghul, like a clown wig, does that trigger it?
I don't
picture it.
Go to your
nightmare dark place. Picture this.
No, I think it's more intuition than it is like any definitive. In the way that art is an art and not a science, I think it's an art and not a science.
I'm trying to find the components of the true clown.
Yeah, like in a way that there are like objective things that mark a clown. I think it's very like there is a subjectivity to it. But I don't know because there were clowns in here that are definitely clowns,
like straight up clowns,
and they're creepy and I don't like
they're
them.
Not even like Jokers, which we know you're okay with. They're just a clown.
Yeah, they're creepy and I don't like them, but like they're on stage so briefly that I think my brain is able to like tune them out.
So you think of there was longer shots of these clowns,
if there were longer shots and there were more of them. Or there were more of them.
So, like, there's a shot that was, like, a minute long, and it's just 10 clowns.
Yes.
On the stage honking their noses and saying, Harrison! Harrison! Like, that would creep you out.
I would turn the movie off. I would turn the movie off less than 15 seconds into that scene.
What if they weren't saying your name?
It would be about 90 seconds, okay. Probably. Well, it depends on what they're doing, but yeah, probably about 90 seconds. Where are we? Joker's in Gotham. They fail out of UCB, which is their, which is both a parody of the Upright Citizens Brigade and the UCB Live is SNL, mm-hmm. with still Lorne Michaels, voiced by Maria Bamford.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk, I want to say, is Bob the Goon, because I know you saw him in the credits. I want to say that's the part he plays.
I do like a movie that shits on SNL. I do like. And also, as someone who's had to watch people go through improv training before, Christ, the yes and bit was so accurate. Holy I'm just saying, like, yeah, I remember sitting on a bench in a dingy fucking room being like, just yes and.
I have not gone through like improv training. I have played improv games and like I have seen
zip zap zop.
I've played a lot of New Choice.
Love New Choice.
I played a handful of New Choice.
New
Choice is a lot of fun.
I remember once we went through like 15 New Choices. We weren't even listening to what they were saying. We just decided we're gonna make this person New Choice like 15 times. So they start saying something, we just go New Choice. And just the look in someone's eye when you're on the seventh new choice as they're just staring you dead in the eye.
Okay, yeah.
And you watch them give up, but then towards the end, they start coming back.
Because you're, yeah, especially.
Because like midway, they're just like, I'm a horse. And then it starts to become like a skit again.
Yeah. I mean, if we're getting into the nitty-gritty of comedy for a second, I love that you use the number 15 because it does follow the rule of threes.
Yeah.
And that is how, like, the human brain has patterns, and for some reason...
And three is the smallest number
is that it loves the pattern of. But around 7, 8, it's going to get really bad.
Yeah.
And then around 12, it's going to get great. And around 15, your brain is going to love it. And then it's going to hate it forever.
Another game I like.
It's going to love it at like 45.
Which might have only been for like, it was a really game, but it's what we're doing at the Renaissance Fair for the characters. We had character Hot Sleep.
Okay.
And this was probably for more long-term improv.
Yeah.
Where you sit on a stool as your character and people just ask you questions.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like figure out like just how to shoot back and shit. And it's really good because when you get like a really good person in there, you can just ask them ridiculous fucking questions. Like this, we had the king show up and he sat in there and Brandon asked, is it true that this is a tax haven? Like that the truth of this whole fucking festival was just a setup for like defrauding taxes. Mm-hmm. And he went on like a 5-minute spiel explaining like how because there's technically 3 bishops overseeing this parcel of land, if they put a lot of money here, none of them, the church can't claim any of it.
Oh, nice.
And then I made him list all his dead sons. And then he finished by saying, I just like making them more than I like raising them.
That's a great character choice.
It was so good. It was like canon too, because once I remember in a show, he asked me like, hey, can you go check him out? Because the queen's like, well, how's her son doing? He's like, can you check my son? I was like, I don't need a shovel.
Where are we in the movie? Oh, Joker meets Mr. J, who is like a online leftist, edgelord online leftist.
I mean, yeah, leftist is a broad spectrum.
The like only online kind of actual leftism, I think the movie says something like pop Marxist.
It's pop. It's definitely the pop kind of leftism where there's not really greater discussion of the theory behind things.
There's no greater discussion, but there's also no real world application.
Yeah.
Like I have a lot of issue with online leftism in general. Mostly because it has no real world application. Stop being behind a keyboard and do something. Do something poorly, but do something. So Mr. J is Jason Todd, formerly Carrie Kelly, now Jason Todd, who was adopted by the Batman the last couple years of their life by the Batman, came out as trans. Batman was really into it. Batman started sexually abusing him, and then he was a teenage runaway.
Grooming, specifically.
Sure. Yes, the Gotham Social Services called it grooming.
Yeah, specifically, yeah. I'm choosing Jason as your... I don't know, sometimes like when people transition, they choose names, and I'm like, hey, you chose that name? Like, I'm glad it works for you, but there's just some names I hear, and I'm like, I feel bad for people born with them. Yeah,
I don't have that. Mm. I'm just like, that is your name. I will call you your name. I will call you whatever you want me to call you.
I'm really big into name determinism.
I know. I'm aware. So, it's obvious. Well, okay. What is... You have no real opinion on this movie. Even though I have deep thoughts about this movie, I will get to them. We're going to extrapolate from your thought process, I guess, because that's my other job as a co-host, is to sometimes when you don't feel like talking about the movie to get in your head because whatever. Not to get the weird Woody Allen meta thing, minus the unpleasant, of course.
I like that. There's a lot of good running gags in here.
But what is it about Jason? Is there anything specific or is it just an initial ill?
It's vibes.
That's insane.
90% of my life's vibes. I make pretty much every big life decision I've made in the moment based on vibes.
That's insane.
When I dropped out of college, it was because of vibes. I was just sitting in the class being like, vibes are off.
It only took you 9 years to figure it out?
Seven,
okay.
When early the vibes were good, it was just at that point, I'm like, you know, it's not working right now. And you know what? Campus shut down because of COVID next week.
Okay, whatever, dude.
That's the gift of future sight, perhaps.
It's not the gift of future sight. You're in... whatever.
Maybe I felt that a bad moon was arising, you know?
So, Jason Todd, Mr. J, is an emotionally abusive 27-year-old stand-up comedian.
As you once were. Or are? Are you 28?
I'm 27. I don't...
Oh, that's currently you!
Yeah. Yeah, when it's...
Poor Geneva.
When Penguin specifically
Leave
says,
Geneva alone!
I tell her... all the time.
Stop gaslighting her and shooting her television.
First
off, you can't gaslight me.
I'm not.
You can't gaslight a gaslighter.
I am sure.
We're not part of the same union.
Okay. There is something. First off, I tell Geneva all the time that this is a mistake.
I'm being emotionally abusive to you right now. This is a mistake you have made.
Okay. Not the first part, but the second part, absolutely. Not so much anymore. She did ask me to stop, and I did stop.
She beat you a bunch until you stopped.
No, but she was like, hey, it makes me feel like you doubt my judgment. And I'm like, I'm happy you're making this decision. I just wouldn't make the same decision.
I am doubting your judgment. You are correct.
No, I'm very happy you're making this decision. I just don't agree with it. I am definitely getting the better end of this deal. You're dating someone whose big dream in life is to be a middle-class comedian.
Yeah, that is pretty wild that it's, you've like set a class and it's middle.
I want to be able to pay all of our bills with stand-up so that Geneva's job is extra money.
I feel like that's not a middle-class comedian. I feel that's five Netflix special comedian. I don't feel like there is a middle-class comedian.
There is.
Is there a level of comedian that can pay an entire household's bill?
Yeah. There are working comedians who make like 70K a year. Mm-hmm. They work every weekend. But like, yeah, like working road dogs can make about 70K a year. Jason Todd is an emotional, narcissistic, sociopathic abuser. There's a whole section on like everyone, whenever people talk about like narcissistic abusers, it's always the wife beater with the beer belly. It's never a 90-pound twink. And like that's true. And then it shows like the signs of a gaslighting abuser. Just a little bit of a tangent, not tangent, but a little bit of a whatever. This movie makes me want to be a film professor because there are just so many like roads you can go down. Like hypothetically, you could teach an entire semester just on this one movie because you have the parody law aspect, which how this movie is legal, I do not understand.
I'm not entirely sure it is.
It
keeps becoming legal and not legal. It's constantly in flux. It's released like three times.
It's constantly on the same. It's on Mubi, which is where I saw it, which is a legal streaming service that like it that has been. It's been on Mubi consistently. It's for sales, so they're making money off of it. But it also uses characters they don't own to tell their own story. Characters that are not in public domain. Is it because it's trying to parody 2019's Joker specifically?
I think the characters are distinct enough that you can argue parody law.
But they're...
What about the penguin in this movie is like Batman Comics the Penguin besides the nose and that he eats fish?
Besides the look, the name, the voice, the, like, all very distinct copyrightable things.
I mean, the voice, that's, like, one version of it.
That's the most famous version of the Penguin voice.
What is the character itself actually... I mean, it's not the rich son of socialites.
It is, they explicitly mentioned
he doesn't have an umbrella. That's a pretty key part of the Penguin. Doesn't have an umbrella. Doesn't really have a top hat. You could put me in a courtroom and with pictures and visual aids, and I could pretty convincingly argue that this is a parody character because there's not enough in common with it.
I would agree with that if they didn't use the name. I truly think it's because the name, and that's copyrightable.
Your Honor, are you going to copy? Are you gonna, is Batman going to sue Happy Feet? Because of penguins?
No, but that's not Penguin. The Penguin, like...
I think they... Don't Oz, they just call him
Oz,
Penguin?
They call him Oz once.
I think they call him Penguin more than the Penguin.
Yeah.
This is Penguin. Oz could be short for anything.
Sure.
it's a thin legal line, but every character is distinct enough in a way that you can argue parody law.
The thing is, yeah.
And more importantly, it's a nightmare in courts, which keeps a lot of people away when it comes to parody stuff.
But it doesn't keep high-level, expensive DC lawyers away.
I mean, it depends. It depends. Sometimes it might. If you can make an actually good argument for it being parody law, like, because they did. They went to court over it. And it was close enough that, you know, they were able to put it out. I just don't think DC cares enough to go back to it.
I'm also not arguing for DC. Vera Drew is completely correct here. I think it is parody law.
And your honor, is like, Oswald a fucking ally? Batman himself exists very little as Batman. He's mostly just a rich fascist groomer is what most of the role exists as. The other things that connect to Batman aren't really needed.
Sure. Take away the grooming part. That is Frank Miller's Batman. Not that character cartoony, but Batman as a rich fascist? That is Frank Miller's Batman.
Frank Miller's Batman would never go on SNL.
Sure.
Also has a mustache. But Batman has a mustache.
If that's the way they get away with it, that's so
dumb. Your honor, is Batman a pot-bellied man with a mustache?
Okay. So
I think that's a legally distinct character.
I think, see, this is the fascinating thing that I wish I had time to do more research about this. The thing with picking a new movie every week and us not planning this out anymore is that I don't have time to like deep dive like I want to. Not that like I had time beforehand, but like I had a little bit of more background information. This episode, I'm kind of just going off of I love this movie. And
you're going
like,
off vibes.
Sure, let's go with that. But like,
the only way to live.
This is a multi-week discussion just on the legality. You could do 3 weeks on the legality of this movie alone. Hypothetically, you can do an entire semester on the legality of this movie, and then the end of the semester.
Your Honor,
is,
does Catwoman have white hair? That looks more like a black cat to me. Perhaps you could Marvel in here and DC out. Rest my case.
So, okay, you can study it as a legal, like, as a legal marvel. A legal, like, just a modern...
A legal detective's comic.
Sure. Just, anyway, as like, an LGBTQ movie, I think it functions very well. It functions very well as, like, a modern trans story. One, because it's just telling... This woman managed to tell her life story through these characters.
Well, there's also the thing at the beginning of it that says it's parody.
It's parody, fair use.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the thing is, I don't know. I truly think the big legal hurdle that they have to argue is that they straight up use the names. I think that's the, like, legal hurdle they actually
parody
have
free
to.
Use.
Okay, but when you parody something, you generally change not just the character but the names themselves. And I think this movie would have been worse had they done that. I think this movie functions better because they use real characters. They use parodies of these characters, but they use like existing characters that we know. My brother wrote a Letterboxd review that I love, and it's that queer kids deserve to see themselves in popular iconography the same way straight kids do. And, like, I agree. I think this movie would be less powerful if it wasn't Batman, Jason Todd, Joker, like, it wasn't these actually recognizable characters. But I also think to get around that, they have to not be the characters. And it's fascinating. Though I love this movie.
I think there's enough distinctions that sometimes I had trouble telling who each person was supposed to be.
Okay. I knew exactly who each character was supposed to be.
I had trouble sometimes.
Okay.
Took me a while to realize that Poison Ivy was Poison Ivy.
They call her Poison Ivy.
Yeah, but Poison Ivy isn't like a puppet.
Okay, but Poison Ivy's like a plant woman, and you instantly recognize that that's a plant woman.
No, it's a plant puppet.
Okay.
It's different.
Okay.
Honestly, the Riddler's the only one. I don't know how they got around. How Riddler's just the Riddler.
The Riddler is just the Riddler.
There's no difference there. It's just the Riddler.
I mean, there is. There has to be.
The Riddler never talks about his dick, Your Honor.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the thing.
The Riddler is never
Show me a Riddler that fucks, Your Honor.
It's a legally distinct costume, Your Honor.
Detective Comics, the Riddler only cares about riddles. This one likes riddles and fucking.
He's riddle sexual.
He's riddle sexual.
Okay, so you could tell this story as like a true LGBT coming of age story, which it is. It's with all of the weird, messy parts that just come with telling a coming of age story. But like, this movie rules. I know you don't have much opinion on it. This movie rules.
It's fine.
I love this movie.
I think it's important it exists. That's why that's my personal opinion on it. I think it's a good movie, and I think it's well done, and I think it's important it exists. But for my own personal viewing, it's fine.
That's fair. This is a 10 out of 10.
I'd give it a higher rating for as an existence than my own personal rating of it.
You respect it more than you like it. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I have pieces of art like that. So this movie, we're missing so much. Joker is an anti-comedian. Joker and Penguin open a club. Joker falls in love with Mr. J, Jason Todd. Jason Todd was groomed by Batman and is a narcissist about it. Not just about that, but like a narcissist. I'm like, my trauma matters more than yours. And Joker has one good bit. Joker figures out one good bit from being traumatized, kind of indirectly implying that comedians need trauma to be like,
yeah,
good at it. I don't actually
trauma makes you funny.
I don't ascribe to that theory at all.
So it's a miracle that I'm funny because I don't really have any trauma.
Okay, I don't ascribe to that theory at all. But
name me a funny comedian who doesn't have trauma.
I don't know if there's a person who doesn't have trauma. And I know you just said you.
It's true.
For the sake of whatever.
Tell my therapist that every session.
Sure. Sure. I'm not your therapist. I'm not here to dig deep. I think whatever we're defining as trauma, I think trauma as defined of something usually negative that an event usually negative that impacts who you are as a person.
Yeah.
If we're defining that as trauma, then every human being has trauma. There are layers to it. I think the point of human, I think a point of human existence is trauma. I think it's like, I don't think you can live life and not have it, because otherwise you have no person. Like, there is no personality out if there's not like a defining thing of your personality, whatever that thing is. But it's so like, name me a comedian who doesn't have trauma. No, the human existence is traumatic.
So comedians need to have trauma. That's what I'm hearing.
No, everyone has trauma. That's not like, I'm not saying comedy comes through trauma. I'm saying comedy doesn't come through trauma, but name me a comedian who doesn't have trauma is a bad argument, because name me a person who doesn't have trauma. And if you
all comedy comes through trauma.
No, not all comedy comes through trauma. Comedy comes through multiple things. It's just the human experience is traumatic. But like, sure, in the sense that like comedy comes through human experience, but that doesn't, like, your trauma isn't what makes you comedic, and you don't need like this hard,
your human experience does,
not just your human experience, but sure, like there's multiple factors to it. There's a personality to the disposition. There's like
the traumatized one.
No, not always. Like, comedians are not comedians because they're traumatized. That's my argument, is that comedians aren't funny because of some like grand trauma. It's just that no other job allows you to talk about how much being alive sucks in a way that being a comedian does.
So being traumatized gives you the material you need to be a comedian. That's what I'm hearing.
That's not what I'm saying. So if that's what
that's
you're
what I'm hearing,
then you're living in a different reality. And I'm not entertaining this one. But I don't even know. Batman is gonna host UCB Live. Joker hacks the bat drone. challenges Lorne Michaels to a dick measuring contest of like, let me be on, let me instead of the Batman be on SNL. Lorne Michaels agrees. Batman chases Joker. Joker's mom is in the hospital because she got concussed by a bat drone. Joker beats up Batman, is swallowed by poison ivy. Then Joker becomes a cast member of the SNL parody.
I like how the Batman never misgenders anyone in this movie.
Correct. It rule is great.
He's like, I'm a piece of shit, but I will not misgender.
The only people who do misgender are the two emotionally abusive people. Yeah. Like, the mother who can't accept a reality outside of, who thinks her trauma is more valuable than her child's. And Jason, who thinks his trauma is more valuable.
But the non-emotionally abusive groomer says... Yeah. No misgendering here.
Just the physically and sexually abusive groomer. Not emotionally, seemingly at all.
You don't view grooming as an inherently emotionally abusive act?
Absolutely not. No, I'm kidding.
This might be the last episode, folks.
No, 100% it is. 100% it is. I just...
I don't know, you said the two emotionally abusive people and didn't include the groomer.
Yeah, anyway.
typical 27-year-old comedian.
Exactly. I'm being edgy, guys.
Put an F in the chat for Geneva, that poor woman.
Yes, put an F in the chat for Geneva.
Always abusing her, grooming her.
No? How... Okay, what you need to know is I love this movie. Matthew doesn't want to talk about this movie, so
I don't have anything to say. Really, it's good. It's good. I think it's important. I think that for a lot of people, this is a very important movie for them. I like a lot of the running gags. It just not my vibe.
Yeah, that's fine, but whatever. So what are you in the Geneva and I sense, what are you defining as grooming?
You were there in the delivery room waiting.
I was not. I was three.
Her mother said.
And in Lancaster.
Her mother said, is it a boy or a girl, doctor? And you ripped off your mask and said, it's a girlfriend. And then you ran out.
No. Okay.
True story.
That's not. Okay.
And I was there when it happened. 10 years ago.
Okay. I'm. you're annoying me. I'm done. Do you have any final thoughts? I guess I'm done. You're annoying the shit out of me. Do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just having fun. The penguin was my favorite. Sorry, penguin was my favorite character.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I wish this movie existed 15 years ago. That being said, I'm so thankful for the kids it's going to impact. Thank you, Vera, for this. I'm so sorry that this is the episode we did on your movie. I hope to bring a guest on who's actually willing to talk about it in the future. Thank you so much.
Willing to talk about it. I just have nothing to say.
But you're not, though. By
I have nothing to say. I don't know how to... there's nothing I can... I have really nothing to talk about. It was nice. It was a good movie. I have nothing. I have no deeper thoughts on it. It kind of glanced off me. I just don't think I'm the target audience at all, and that's okay.
That is fine, I guess. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week for whatever movie Matthew chooses.
The People's Batman.
If that exists, I will absolutely watch it. Do socials, please.
Okay, hey, it's time for socials, the thing we do at the end of every episode. If you want to follow me and my vibes-based journey, you can find me at Midwest_magician on Instagram. If you want to follow us on YouTube, that is Two Men and a Movie Podcast. Everywhere else, Two Men Movie Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, The Blue Sky Never Update, the, what's the other one? X. I think I made an X account.
Okay.
But yeah, you can find us there. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Lemonade at harrisonpoole.com. HarrisonPoole.com. And you can follow me on Letterboxd at HDPoole124. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week for whatever movie Matthew chooses. I love this movie. Thank you, Vera Drew. So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. not what it sounds like.